Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another edition of America's Most Wanted and the people that find them. I'm talking about the world of bail bonds, and it's an absolutely fascinating world they live in. Joining me this week on the panel is Rod Dowston, who is general manager for Palmetto Insurance and owner of Surety 3. Rod, great to have you on the program.
Oh, Simon, I'm so happy to be on the program. It's just a shame that they just had to wheelbarrow me over to the telephone from that turkey dinner I had.
Indeed. Also, on the line, we have the infamous, the one and only William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, great to have you on the program.
Great to be here, and I was just laughing, and you know, I didn't mean it. But I said that was one of two things. One, huge-ass wheelbarrow, and I would not want to meet the guy that was pushing it. Jesus.
And also on the panel this week, recovery agent and a really smart cookie, Matthew Todd. Matt, great to talk to you again.
Hey, Simon, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Okay, I have an interesting little story for you. It's out of California. California, the land of fruits and nuts. Anyway, on the ballot was something called Prop 47. Like most propositions, Prop 47 was a bit ill thought out. The idea was to save some tax dollar, taxpayer dollars, cut down the number of jail inmates, and basically streamline the justice system. Well, I think everyone's in favor with that. So the cunning scheme involved changing the criminal code in such a way that certain crimes that were felonies now fell under the misdemeanor envelope. And as a consequence of that, of course, it meant that more people were available for being let out on their own recognizance or pretrial release, etc., etc. There was a news article that Fox ran out of Sacramento, and they were talking to bail bondsman Greg Padilla, who I believe is the son of Leonard Padilla. At least that's the way I read it. He claims that his business has dropped about 20% as a consequence of Prop 47. You know, less people are needing commercial bail, you know, because they're eligible for own recognizance. Even though the, you know, crimes involved are use of almost every illicit drug known to man, theft up to $950, and there's a whole bunch of them. But here's the fallout. Maybe the jail population is somewhat lower, but here are the really scary details. In Sacramento, there are currently about 65,000 outstanding warrants on offenders that failed to show up for their court date. I mean, that's a large number anyway. But it gets worse. Of them, only 268 are out on bail, meaning bounty hunters and recovery agents will not be actively searching for any of the more than 64,000 people. There's no incentive. So if you're a bounty hunter in Sacramento County, you've only got 268 people to pick up. Oh, this doesn't sound like very good math to me. And while Padilla understands voters believed in quotes, Prop 47 would help reduce overcrowded jails, he thinks lowering bail amounts would have been more effective in doing that. I'd love to hear what you folks think. Rod, I'll start with you.
Well, Simon, the problem that I see with this is one of the arguments in which they had is that potential release of 10,000 felons from the state prisons are going to be released by this crime, by this Prop 47, which reduced the penalty for stealing guns, date rape drugs, and any other crime in which they redone this here Prop 47 to lower the crime statistics. So that means the FBI crime statistics will also change, that Sacramento or California would not have such a high crime rate. It seems as though to me they're trying to bring more tourists into California or Sacramento by making this such a change like this. And it doesn't make sense to me by releasing 10,000 felons from the state prisons.
Oh, it doesn't make a lick of sense. But I think Padilla does make one possibly decent, sensible remark that a more effective method might have been to reduce the recommended bail amounts for a particular crime. Do you think that would have been a better solution?
I think it would have been a much better solution. And one of the other things in which I see in here is that for looking at the actual law itself and the legislation that was passed on November the 4th, I see that they also reduced, let's say that a person in possession of a firearm as a convicted felon. It depends on your prior history with law enforcement or your criminal background that you would be labeled as a felon or that crime would be labeled as a felon. So, in other words, if I've never been arrested before or I've been arrested for misdemeanors and I go out there and steal a firearm or a law enforcement firearm, in that case, that would be considered a misdemeanor.
Yeah, I certainly don't agree with that. You know, my mother taught me as a kid, never mess with a cop's gun. Yeah, that's going to get you in big trouble really quick. And Cobra, I'd love to hear what you think about Prop 47 and the fallout.
Well, you know, anytime I'm listening to those Padilla boys, you know, there's not very many times that I agree with them, especially with Leonard and this, that, and the other. But in this respect, I do agree with Greg. To reduce the bond schedule was a much better approach. And it just goes to show you that when we're speaking of economics in this type of arena, in the criminal justice system, some people are led by the unknowing to do the unthinkable. And that's the case here. See, anytime, and Rod touched on it there a little bit about tourism and federal statistics. Tourism trade typically will roll back into an area if the crime rate drops. In this case, they're not doing anything to drop the crime rate, which probably was their initial thing. All they did was economically screw up a system that's already screwed to begin with. But anytime that the federal statistics drop, funding for the state level drops as well. So if you reduce the federal statistics by reallocating what the felonies are versus the misdemeanors, you drop that support from the federal government. And once you start dropping that down, it's hard to get it back. But when that drops down, then you know, when they do have what we call shit to blow off the handle, they don't have that federal money sitting there to, you know, take care of stuff. So, you know, even the local law enforcement officer suffers. They have less cars, less bullets, less guns, less bulletproof vests. I mean, all their what happens first is their safety issue drops out. And this doesn't just affect when the federal statistics go down and that federal money is pulled back and actually sent to someplace else that has a higher crime rate. What happens is everything suffers, all the way from your sanitation, your police, everything that's run by taxpayer dollars. So in this particular case, knowing all sides of it, I think they got the wrong politician in there to put forth a Proposition 47. But I do agree wholeheartedly with Greg that reducing the bond schedule, the overall bond schedule, would continue to keep the crimes in their proper categories. Now, also in saying that, I don't have a problem reducing certain schedules on personal use of drugs. You know, if you're caught in Florida, for example, with less than 20 grams of marijuana, it turns out that that's a misdemeanor. Over 20 grams, it's a felony. Now, I know guys that walk around with a sack, which usually is, you know, an ounce of marijuana, and that is personal use marijuana, but that's a felony. But the thing is they're not actually, these crimes are not affecting, you know, what one does to oneself is different than reducing these things if a felon is caught with a firearm and now it's a misdemeanor. That's a pretty damn big change up. So I'm all for, you know, because we got a lot of people in prisons for drugs. That's one of the big issues. Now, if you're transporting and you're doing, you know, multiple things and involving other people and the sale and conversion and everything else of drugs, well, then it should be higher. But personal use stuff like that, the theft up to $900, I think Florida has it at $300. And each year it kind of goes up just a little bit because cost of living goes up. So yeah. I don't have a problem.
Inflation and the cost of living.
You know, the TV that they stole last year is worth less money now. So let's go ahead and drop that down a little bit. Now, there's certain things you can drop. But overall, I think the easiest, quickest, fastest way to have lessened up the jail population would be rescheduling those bonds. Now, just because we are dropping down the amount of folks in jail doesn't mean that we've done a damn thing to reduce crime. And if you've got 68,000 warrants out there that are not being served because they went over to the next county or whatever, we know how that works, and you've got 268 folks thereabouts on bail, and that number will change because those bondsmen are out there bringing those people in, you know, ones and twos at a time. So that number is going to change. But you have a huge deficit of folks out there. So
basically what we have is a wide open jail system, and this guy that shouldn't be walking around with a firearm is, and it's just a misdemeanor, so who gives a shit? So what they've done to the, if the tourists are smart, stay the hell away from there, because they didn't do anything to reduce crime. They just made it more advantageous to do a crime because the consequence of that crime is greatly reduced now. So I would stay the hell out of Sacramento, number one. And number two, next time Proposition 47 or anything like that comes up anywhere nearby, they ought to vote it down and maybe change it, because now they've even lost the support that when shit really breaks off, they've lost that federal support. And that's why the feds keep a statistic running on that, so that they know how much to aid the local municipalities that cannot cover it in their normal tax bill. So they may need cars, and hell, I saw someone buying tanks. I mean, it's getting pretty damn bad when they got to have Black Hawk helicopters and tanks and all this kind of shit. So they goofed again.
Matt, do you have any thoughts on the usefulness of Prop 47?
I actually didn't. I missed most part of that because I lost my phone in the car. I don't know, driving at the same time. Like I said, I mean, it's just, for me, it's, I think it's a good way to help our legal system when they mandate, you know, the certain felonies to be non-serious and non-violent, you know, instead of making it, you know, a higher bond, reducing the bond. But yeah, like I said, I don't, you know, I'm not too much, I'm not as savvy on this as Cobra and Rod. I'm the newbie, but yeah, I think it's I'm okay with it.
Okay, who wants to take him out back and beat him with a stick?
well, Matt, what they're saying, and the problem that I have with this is that the penalties for certain offenses convicted of nonviolent or non-serious crimes has been reduced from felonies to misdemeanors. The problem with that is that when you're doing those statistics with the FBI, it looks very good on paper. So they actually, instead of reducing the money, they get more money from the federal government because they have fought crime. And instead of being so many felons out there being committed, there's no felons being committed other than rape, robbery, and murder, the capital offenses, of course. The problem is now we got an influx or a greater rate of misdemeanors being crimes have been committed. So what they're doing, all they're doing is just changing the crime statistics instead of a lot of felonies being committed. No, we don't have felonies now. So come on to California. It's the best place to be. You know, we don't have guys committing felonies anymore. They just live petty misdemeanor crimes, you know, and that's what they're saying. So now what they're doing is they're redoing the justice system where that now you got tens of thousands of inmates now run out of prison who committed these heinous crimes. Because now what they're doing is saying, well, hell, I got caught with only 10 kilos of cocaine. That was a nonviolent crime. So now the judges has, from my understanding of reading the, reading the proposal right now it's not a proposal anymore. It's a law now because it was passed in November the 4th. So now what they're saying is that, wait a minute, we can get out of jail now, because that's no longer a felon. So what they did, they did not go back and say if you was already committed or already sentenced. No, they skipped a beat on that and said, listen, you can get out of jail right now because the law have changed and they grandfathered your dumb ass in. So now you can get out of jail. So now what everybody is doing is the judge's hands are tied where that the judges cannot stop these people from getting out of jail unless there are heinous crimes now. So now what is happening now is that the jails are being filled with misdemeanor crimes that now can get ROR and nobody's going to look for them. They can walk the street.
They're trying to blanket it.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Oh. See, I've, like I said, I haven't. I'm just now reading Prop 47. I didn't get a chance to even
now,
read what.
I haven't read the actual law. You know,
I'm
behind Prop 47.
I'm reading it right now.
Well, let me ask you this: does that affect points? Do they do a point system like they do here?
No, there's no point system. There's nothing the judges can do but sit back and allow this to happen.
What caught my eye was the use of illicit drugs. In fact, illicit drugs in general. I found nowhere. Was there a break point, you know, between, you know, what was, you know, how much of a drug could conceivably be for individual use only? Surely if I'm caught with a kilo of cocaine, that couldn't possibly be for individual use. But nowhere in Prop 47.
that's the problem, Simon. You are absolutely correct, Simon. That's the problem. I'm reading it, and it says nonviolent crimes, and 10 kilos, from 1 to 10 kilos is a nonviolent crime.
Okay, so now I'm driving around town. You know, with 10 kilos of cocaine, and I get pulled over, and the guy says, "Boy, you've got 10 kilos of cocaine." Ah, yeah, but it's for personal use. Now, okay, well, I'm going to slap a misdemeanor on you. What a joke.
You know, Simon, it's all about what you know about the situation. You know, it's the same for me. If I saw you riding down the road, and I know you've done this before where you've gotten good deals in them Roman noodle things, and I pull you over and you've got a gross of them, you got 300 boxes of Roman noodles, that cannot be for your personal consumption. However, it is.
That would last like a lifetime, two lifetimes.
Well, yeah, so, you know, but here's the thing. Cocaine has a funny way of calling all your friends to come help you do it. So they all come over and partake in your festivities. It's just like buying, you know, 20 cases of beer. You know, nobody's going to drink 20 cases of beer, but you're going to have a party. So, you know, once they've taken the criminal effect out of it and made it to where it's personal consumption, there's a great argument for what is, you know, I know guys that would argue with you and say, listen, 10 pounds of pot is only going to last me about 10 months. Okay, that's personal. So,
well, let me ask you this. I just read up, does this mean that they could re-sentence people that are serving felonies?
They should be able to.
No, they can cut them loose. No re-sentencing, cut them loose.
Right. Not resetting them. Yeah,
because this is what I read. This is for California, right?
Yes.
Yes, California. The whole state. Not just Sacramento, but the whole state of California.
Yep. No. This is only Sacramento County. And that makes those statistics even worse.
Oh, because I'm reading it. It says that it requires resentencing for persons serving felony sentences for these offenses unless court finds unreasonable public safety risk.
Right. That's it. Simon, it's for the state of California.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I missed that.
State of California.
Yeah, it's full state.
I've been released from state prisons. That's the state of California.
Right.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Hold on. We have a caller. And I'll bring them on and see what they have to say. Hello, caller. Lawrence, I believe it is.
Simon, can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Warren.
Oh, okay, try that again.
It's Lawrence. I don't think my connection is working right.
Okay.
I spoke to you about Slender Man before when we were discussing that a few weeks ago.
We were talking about what?
When we first began talking about the Wood Ape Society for the Moral Guidance and Teaching of the Sasquatchians, and it led...
Oh, dear, we appeared to have lost him.
I just got my moonbeam over to Zenus. Wait a second, hold on. I'm on my way.
Yeah, I believe that there's a Sasquatch provision in Prop 47, but I couldn't find it. Okay, sorry about that. These things do happen from time to time. So you can
just let the caller know that I just got my moonbeam flew over from Zenus, and I'd be there in a zippy.
Right.
Hey, Mr. Rod, no names mentioned or anything, but what we were talking about earlier, that just came back hot, confirmed, hot and confirmed.
Okay, sound good, bro. I got you.
You got it.
I'm happy.
Okay, so let's go back to Prop 47. I mean, this is a totally ridiculous situation. You know, something has to happen, and I haven't seen any real kickback from Prop 47, other than Greg Padillo, you know, claiming that it's affecting business. But surely even people in California are going to start going, maybe that wasn't such a great idea.
It made for a bunch of millionaires overnight is what it did, because I'm going to tell you right now, if getting caught with 10 kilos of cocaine is a misdemeanor, I ain't never wanted to do it, but I might just move on out there.
Well, after reading on Prop 47, I like to... I could take that back, Simon. This Prop 47 can kick rocks.
Okay. All right. Now, let's see. If you get caught with a kilo of cocaine in Florida, that's definitely a felony, right?
Oh, you're going 15 to life, baby.
Right. Okay.
You're done. Yeah. Don't get caught with you down here. You're done.
And if you get caught with a kilo in Colorado,
you're done.
Going away for a long time.
Yeah. See, that's federally mandated there, and I don't understand how the state could, you know, especially when we're talking those high numbers, because Rod knows, and I know. Any time you get over a certain amount, almost always it gets picked up on a federal level. Them feds come in and off you go. There's very few people running around transporting 10 kilos of cocaine that ain't seen fed time. You know, that's where it goes. So I don't know how the state could say, well, you know what, 10 kilos, hell, that's just a misdemeanor. I don't see how they could do that and get away with it. There has to be some real shit going on between the Fed and the state level as we speak on this same issue.
All right, now let's change drugs for a moment.
Cool.
That's not
cool. Okay.
Should never mix.
I like these parties, man. Let's change drugs. Shit.
All right. Who's ready to toke it up? Now, quick deal here. I get caught with 20 grams of weed in Florida. It's a misdemeanor,
felony.
Right?
Nope, felony.
No, I thought it was 20 or above.
No, less than 20.
Less than 20.
Oh, okay, 19. Okay. I get caught with 19 grams of weed. It's a misdemeanor.
Maybe. In your case, maybe.
Okay.
You got priors of molesting lizards and throwing toilet paper over your neighbor's house. So they may throw a gravel inside that bag. So get it down to about 15 so you're safe.
Okay. But are they going to throw me in jail or are they going to ticket me?
Oh, you're going to jail.
You're going to jail.
Going to jail. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Same 20 grams in Colorado. The cop will probably ask if it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And do you want a light?
Yeah, he's going to ask you what's your correct mailing address because you're going to be cited just like a speeding ticket on the scene.
No, you're not because it's legal in Colorado.
No, it's only legal if you have
a certain amount.
Certain documents.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I'm gonna play the same trick on you. Hold on. trust me on this. 20 grams is perfectly legal.
Right.
You can't. Yes. You can't. You can't smoke in public. I do not believe. But 20 grams. Hey, it's just fine. In California, sorry, 19 grams. In California, you get pulled over with 19 grams. They go, oh, you bad boy. You shouldn't be doing drugs. So here's a ticket. So
in Florida, I had this cop back in the day. I mean, you know, who didn't? And this cop said, Cobra, it ain't nothing wrong with a little weed, but I will lock your ass up for a single seed. And I'm like, shit, my shit ain't got no seeds yet.
Now, to answer the question, oh, that was some bad weed. No, to answer the question about Colorado, the law states you can have up to 2 ounces for personal use.
Wow.
Perfectly legal.
Colorado's 1 ounce, right?
Sorry?
Colorado's 1 ounce?
No, I believe it's up to 2 ounces.
Well, that seems awfully high. I'd check on that.
Yeah.
Okay. But, in the grand scheme of things, it's irrelevant. So we go upscale a bit. I get caught in Florida with a bale. I've no idea how much a bale of marijuana is.
50-pound wrapper.
Okay, so I've got 50 pounds of marijuana. In Florida, they're just going to go, oh, you keep horses, do you?
Yeah,
I
love it.
Right, and I'm gonna miss my next Thanksgiving at home.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I'm probably gonna miss several Thanksgivings.
No doubt.
In Colorado, same thing. Right, you're gonna be spending some quality time in jail. But in California, they're going to go, oh, is this for personal use? And you're going to say yes. So, misdemeanor again.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid is this?
Well, it's what I've been saying all along, Simon. We call this the United States of America, and I dare anybody to show me. Where in hell are we united? We're not united. You know, in Colorado, when you get up there and you make a cake in the oven, the air's so thin and you're so high up anyway, you got to make a certain level. You got to do certain things to that cake mix. Unlike here in South Florida, Otherwise, the damn thing will float off into space. So I'm thinking, why are they letting them smoke pot up there? Because it's definitely got to have higher effects on you up that high in the woods smoking that shit than down here at sea level. So are those people more tolerant? Are they more mature? What is it that separates Colorado from Florida as far as the weed, man? I don't understand this shit. Why is the United States not uniform in everything from one end to the other? I don't understand it.
I'll just bet that if I went online and did some searching, I can find recipes for, you know, specifically designed for Colorado. Because of the high altitude for hash brownies.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cobra, you bring up an incredibly important question, and one that I've asked over and over and over again. Why is that they're not a standard between states? And, you know, this bullshit I've been talking about, you know, drugs in various spots. Why can't all the states agree that, you know, this is acceptable, this is not acceptable?
Good question. It's not just for drugs. It's about, you know, who gets to sleep with their billy goat and, you know, who gets to do this and that. You know, a married couple in Georgia that have sodomy sex can go to prison. Okay? If you caught with your wife having something, you know, I don't subscribe to the shit, but there's a good parallel. But if you get caught up there doing that, you're going to jail. You know, in other places, I mean, you know, they must
be doing counties here in Florida. That's against the law.
You're going to jail, man. So, you know, things change from state to state and county to county. It's the craziest shit I've ever seen. And I can't find one thing that anybody's united upon. I don't find anything. Except
no,
haters,
I mean,
they all out there, but they're hating different subjects.
Well, it's true even with capital crimes. You can have a serial killer in one state. Oh, and here's a tip for any of you would-be serial killers. Don't do it in Texas. Right? They have the death penalty.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, other states, it would be life without parole.
Right.
That makes no sense. There's something flawed about the basic justice system.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just in the justice system, it's everywhere. I mean, we're flawed as a nation. I mean, we're flawed. And I don't know how it got this damn screwy.
And Rod, you're a general agent. You operate in various states. Presumably, you have to be very cognizant of what you're doing in any particular state.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Rod knows that better than any of us. He's rode in the back of as many squad cars as his defendant has.
I about to say, what did a agent have to do with it?
that's just a guaranteed ride in the squad. Oh, you a general agent? All right, well, come here and see how incredible my back seat is.
Simon, I'm gonna tell you, if you got guys out here that call themselves recovery guys or recovery, whatever name they want to use in order to hunt down fugitives, if they're any good or any grain of salt, they have sat in the back seat of a police car once or twice. I'm not saying going to jail, but I'm saying maybe for the police officer protection as well as yours,
your house in the back of a police car once or twice.
You see how I gave props to the police officers? Man, that was wonderful, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes, it was. And if you're really, really, really good, you've been in the back of a lot. You wore the paint off your ass.
Okay. Should I dare take another caller?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do some.
As long as you're
I'm from Venus. They might be from Mars. We might even get this going together. Oh, that's the same guy.
Okay, Area 352, what's your name and what's your question for us?
Okay. It's Ron, Simon. What's going on?
Shit. Yeah. He was right. That's an outer space call. Hang up. Shit.
Yeah, I had Cobra chasing his tail yesterday.
No shit.
Yeah. I try and avoid Cobra for a while.
4 days. 4 days, Jerry. Not yesterday. 4 days.
I'm sure that was a mistake, an oversight.
It was a typo.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, well, I almost arrested my own damn family member over that shit.
Cobra.
Yes, sir.
Just to let you know, 110% confirmation from two solid sources.
Hey, I already know, man. What you know?
I already
know. Oh, okay. All right, just letting you know. Just was passing it along.
Hey.
Thank you, sir.
See that little son of a bitch? How long ago was it that we just said that? See, multiply that out by four, and that's the damn delay we got on this guy. Man, we got to get you on front page. Ah, damn.
Okay, I'm going to play absolutely
Hold on one moment, Simon. Just give me 1 second. Colbert, I just got a message in. They are closed until Monday.
Oh, man, that's bullshit.
I know. they work half a day today. He just called me. That's why I was off for a second there. He just called me and told me, Rod, I'm closed. I'm like, wow, man, I need you right now. It just came in to me. That is 100%. He told me he won't be back in the office until Monday, and he'll do it 7 o'clock in the morning. At 7:05, we'll know exactly where it's at.
All right,
brother.
You know, I'm
okay.
Not happy.
All right. No names need to be mentioned here. I'm just the guy running the program. All of you are talking in codes. I'm assuming you're on a case.
Yeah. We're working a couple of cases. Here's what's going on. No names mentioned or anything, but see. And we ain't going to limit this to Florida because it might not be just Florida. But here's what we got going on. You know, when a person gets locked up and goes to jail, they call a bondsman, and a bondsman goes down there and posts a piece of paper called a power. That power is the guarantee from the insurance company that they put there, and the guy gets out of jail. Now, the defendant goes on about his merry-ass way, and you know all the problems that could have about all the stories we've told. But what folks don't understand sometimes is that particular bondsman who went down there, just like this guy we talked about last week, the insurance company never gave him that paper. He produced that paper again from a printing machine. So basically, he stole that paper from that insurance company. But what we got is we got slick-ass people out here, no names mentioned and no states mentioned. But what they seem to do is when you write a bond and say it's $1,000 $10,000 bond, we'll make it round numbers, $10,000 bond, that bondsman is supposed to collect $1,000. That $1,000 is non-refundable to nobody. That's the cost of doing business. Now, for the bondsman to do the cost of business, he is going to pay back to the insurance company anywhere from $100 to $200, depending on what point system he has, and that's payment to the insurance company for that piece of paper that he got.
That he owes that to the insurance company. The insurance company gets that. That's how they make their money. Similar to if you get car insurance and you go give that agent down there a bunch of money and he puts you on a payment plan or whatever he does, and then sometimes they keep that money. Sometimes they never report that to the insurance company. You driving around out here thinking you got full coverage insurance, you ain't got no damn insurance. Well, in the bail bonds, you out of jail, so it don't really affect you none. So, but what's happening is some of these guys out here is so damn greedy that they take in the insurance company's money and mixing it with their money and spending all of it. And to hell with the insurance company, because if they get caught, it's just going to be a slap on the wrist kind of thing. Well, I happen to know that pretty damn soon, a couple of these major offenders, they're going to see their happy ass in there going to jail. The lines are getting blurred, y'all. We don't know the good guys from the bad guys sometimes. Now, it's not limited to any one group or any one insurance company or any one state. These little bad apples pop up all over the place. Case in point, I think it was Hillsborough County, where this agent decided to not only steal the money from the insurance company, not report what he owed to them and pay them what he owed to them, but he also went into collateral and took collateral money. Now, collateral money is money that's promised up from the defendant to the bondsman, and in the event that he doesn't do everything right, that'll help pay the bond. But if he does everything right, and by doing everything right, meaning he makes all his court appearances, no matter if he's sentenced to prison or sentenced to be free or whatever it is, he's made all his court appearances, therefore his case, as far as the bondsman is concerned, is done. And within a certain amount of time, the bondsman has to reissue him back whatever his collateral was, especially since he showed up and did his job, which was to show up. That's all he's supposed to do. Well, he's got these guys out there collecting that money, and they're not reporting it, and they're spending it. They're spending it on their wife and their family for Christmas and all this kind of stuff, and thinking that, hey, you're just going to smack me on the fingers, you know, you do this and that. But, you know, you can go to jail for that shit. That's called conversion. So anyway, that's my little rant for today, because I'm telling all my agents, don't steal no money from me, because then I can't understand which one you are, the defendant or my agent, and you're going to go jail.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I
wasn't going to say ouch.
Don't
okay.
drop the show.
And see,
well, the problem with that is that they got good and bad apples in every profession. And they have it even in law enforcement, where they go inside of the property room and steal money, cocaine, property. They have it inside the banks, where they go inside people's accounts and transfer money over to their accounts. And they also go inside the banks and steal money. So the problem is not just bail bonds, and I don't want anyone to take what we're saying on this show and try to prove something that is not there. So the problem is that they got good and bad apples in every profession. It's a shame, though, when bondsmen are an officer of the court and they do their due diligence. We have a lot of very, very good bondsmen in this profession. The only difference is we also have a lot of bad ones. So this is one way to weed out those bad ones. Let's start prosecuting them. Let's not give them slaps on the hands anymore. Those slaps on the hand, those slaps on the hands for the bondsman that never became a bondsman. That's what I feel a slap on the hand should be for. Because if you're a bondsman and you go to classes and you go through your year of training, you should know better. There is nothing in the world that can come up, not even the death of your mother, can make you spend money that is not yours, money that does not belong to you. You are trusted by an insurance company as well as the GA to do the right thing. You are trusted by the state of Florida by the duties of your license to do the right thing. So why don't you just do the right thing? Imagine that money never even in your hand. That's what you should do, is imagine that you never touch that money and turn it into the rightful owners of that money. Although you feel you're the rightful owner of that money, you're not. It's not your paper. It belongs to the insurance company. It's their paper. It's their money. Pay them, and then it becomes your money or what you have left over for whatever stupid and crazy payment plan you worked out with a person that never going to pay you. So that's your money. The invisible money is your money. The money you have in your hand, that belongs to the insurance company.
Oh, okay. Let me be really stupid for a moment, because I'm really good at it. And it's okay. I'm not even going to mention the word lizard. Is what you're talking about a civil offense or a criminal offense?
Both.
It's criminal.
It's both. Actually, it's both, Simon, and this is the reason why. First of all, it's a criminal offense because it's embezzlement and it's theft. It's a civil offense because it's conversion. So either way, it depending on your insurance company and your GA of which way they want to go after you. In the past, it's just been conversion where that they've been going after you administratively. But now there's a lot of things changing in the industry, and especially with accredited insurance company, they are going after their agents, American Surety. They're going after their agents criminally. They're not going after them with the pat on the hands anymore. And I agree with them 100% because there's agents out here that need that ass whooping, not the pat on the hand, but that ass whooping.
Yeah.
Okay. What is conversion? It's a term that I'm not familiar with.
Conversion,
like, well, let's say you do a bond. Go ahead, Cobra. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, Rod, you got it. You know this down pat.
All right, Simon. So, say one of us do a bond and we take a 2012 Bentley for collateral that's paid for. This is an easy way to explain it. We take that Bentley and we're going to hold it until the defendant goes to court and handles his court case. But in the interim, while he's going to court and doing what he needs to do, and we're supposed to be good stewards of that piece of merchandise, we get in it and we drive it all over town and we're sporting it around and we're putting miles on it, and we're just having parties in the back seat and everything else. That's converting collateral because it's not ours. We don't have the right to do that. We're just supposed to be holding it for until he goes to court to make sure that he does what he's supposed to do.
Okay,
that's a lighter form of conversion. A stronger form of conversion would be taking that Bentley and selling it and saying you sold it for $1,000, and that's what it costs you on this defense.
Correct.
So you got two different ways of, you know, converting things. Conversion is taking something that's not yours and making it yours through the form of conversion. You're making something that's not yours to yours, and a stroke of a pen or whatever, it's still a theft.
Okay, and that would be a civil offense, am I correct?
Actually, it can be criminal, too.
It's both disciplinary and criminal.
Yeah.
Because it's automatic 2 years suspension, and probably if you're found guilty, it's definitely a revocation of your license.
Yeah. But here's something that happened in my profession. I'm also a general contractor, and I rented a bunch of rental equipment for a job one time, namely post shores and plywood, stuff like that, to shore up a building. Well, I had a fallout with the owner. Now, all this rental property is on, and they barred me from coming back to the job. So we go to our corners, and we get our lawyers, and we start fighting. Meanwhile, they hired another general contractor to come in and take over my project. Well, rather than take down my rental equipment that was holding the building up, replacing it with rental equipment that they took on, they just decided to use mine. And the rental company came after me for the rent. So I had to continue paying the rent with them or find myself in civil litigation with them. Well, what ended up happening at the end of the job when they packed it all up, they took that shit that didn't belong to them back to their store yard. So then I had to sue them for conversion of material where I was a third party in it. So basically it had civil liability, and it also had criminal liability attached because of the amount of actions and things done. But, yeah, it could be both. In most cases, it is both. And in bail bonds, it is both. However, the system has decided for the most part on the state level only to go after those agents through administrative formulas, temporary loss of license, temporary this, temporary that, slap on the wrist, that kind of shit. When what really needs to happen is the general agents who know this that's happening should go ahead and prosecute them criminally and stop it. Send a message to anyone else thinking about doing that shit. Because it's lucrative in one way, Simon, and in another way, it's downright, you know, awesome that, you know, somebody's dropped their 2012 Bentley off, and like Ron said, you're driving pretending it'd be yours. You know, even though you're going to give it back to them at the end of this session, you're still making use of something that's not yours to be using.
Somebody's got some dogs going at it.
Yeah. Not me.
Not me.
My wife is sat very quietly.
Oh, you're going to get
little,
it.
Those little ankle biters there, according to Ranger.
We had a situation here, Simon, where an individual bondsman who will remain nameless up here was taking I forget the year of it, but it was a nice looking Cadillac Escalade as collateral, and the defendant failed to appear, and she told the owner of the Escalade that she was liquidating the truck to pay the court. Well, the interesting thing was she liquidated this Escalade, but never paid the court.
Perfect.
Ouch. You know, Ron brings up something good. That particular county that he's in, for years, only certain bondsmen, and hell, Ron was one of the bondsmen that actually paid the streakers, and for the most part, nobody paid them at all. So Ron had to take the damn clerk of court to task and ask why he's paying them, you know, because the state says pay them, but everybody else is getting away scot-free. And then when it all sugarcoats down back to the state level, we've got a guy in the state level that burns or shreds by accident, so he says, 150 boxes of judgments. So now the record and the millions and millions of dollars that would have went into the state coffers is gone. So how do we penalize him? Oh, let's just give him a day off with pay.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. Here's something better. That Escalade in which they sold, in actuality, it could not be sold and it should not have been sold until after the bond was paid. Because you cannot convert collateral until you had a loss. Now, once you have suffered a loss, then you can convert collateral after sending a certified notice to the last known address. So whoever that bondsman was violated all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not the first time and certainly won't be the last.
Wait a minute. Won't be the last? They didn't do anything to the bondsman?
No. And if it's the same bondsman I'm thinking about, if you in jail and you was charged with having oxycodones, street name Blues, and if you was to bring about 4 or 5, maybe 10 of those Blues by the office, hell, that'll pay for your bond, shit.
What?
Yep.
I know of one right now that does that.
Yipper. Yeah, there's a few bad ones out there. I could probably pick one per county and, you know, let you know.
No, I think we can. Let's make it more easy. We can, like, maybe there's only 4 in the bunch of 3,000 in the state of Florida.
Yeah. You know, it's not the norm, but it is something. There's a few out there, and they've got. Hell, this one particular bondsman that I think we're talking about was a bondsman and went to Spain and trafficked in cocaine. Got caught with a kilo of cocaine and spent a year inside a Spanish prison. And the state of Florida, and listen, the state of Florida knows about it. And good
can't do anything about it.
Listen, and the state of Florida knows all about it, and they
can't
tried.
Do nothing about it.
They can't, because they would not cooperate with Spain. But you know,
with
they
Spain,
can't do nothing about it. Well, here's the thing:
can't do nothing about it. It's outside of Florida jurisdiction. It's in another country.
All right, check this out.
Well, actually, if you read the statute, it clearly says if you've ever pled no contest or been found guilty of a felony with a year or more in prison in any jurisdiction, including foreign.
Yeah, it says that, Rod. It also begs to differ.
They can't do nothing about it. In order to do something about it, Spain will help them provide those documents. And I guarantee you, Spain did not provide those documents.
They didn't.
Well, that's
they
why.
Didn't.
That's why.
Well, there you go.
Let me ask you this, Rod. She was party to a civil lawsuit that went all the way to the Florida Supreme Court, in which she admitted in a sworn pleading in that she did 11 months in a Spanish prison for a muling charge of cocaine, admitted to it in her own pleading.
Can't do nothing about it. I can admit to drug trafficking, but the problem is, where's the proof that I committed drug trafficking?
He told me. Wait a minute.
Just because I've been in jail for drug trafficking, and I was found innocent, I'll be innocent of drug trafficking.
Yeah, but you're innocent.
Well, generally, people that go to jail, for something, and they end up getting out, they don't go into court in a civil lawsuit and say, oh, yeah, by the way, I spent 11 months in prison for drug trafficking. They say there was allegations made against me, but they were untrue. They don't admit to it.
Well, that's the difference between civil and criminal. Civil is the preponderance of evidence as opposed to beyond reasonable doubt. So if they didn't provide the evidence,
A question for all of you, and it's a very general question. I'm not a lawyer, although I have been known to hang out with a bunch. So I pick up words here and there. How much legal knowledge do you really need to be a bondsman? It sounds like there's quite a lot involved.
You pretty much turn into a shade tree lawyer.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I've seen the movie The Shaw Redemption. I don't need it.
Good movie.
Yep. You got to be a lawyer, a banker, freaking cop. You got to be the judge. You got to be a lot of stuff to be a bondsman. You got to know a lot of stuff because if you cross that line, psychiatrist. Oh yeah, you got to be well schooled in psychiatry. There's a whole lot of stuff you got to know, or you cross that line and then you become the defendant.
Yep. Ain't that right, Cobra?
Yeah. Well, and you know what? You can be 100% innocent, too. I mean, and some people will try to frame your ass.
Now, last week I read an article about how easy it was to become a bondsman with something like 40 hours of classwork and $400 and away you go. Now, seems to me that you couldn't teach all of this stuff in 40 hours.
No. It's 120.
Yeah.
And then 1,540 as an intern.
Right. And Simon, the only thing that you really learn in Florida about how to become a bondsman is you learn who does the money belong to, who does the money go to, and that's what they teach you to be a bondsman in Florida. They want to make sure that money is took care of. But as far as kicking in the door and making an arrest, they don't teach any of that stuff. You got to figure that out on your own. That's why an intern, when you get your internship license, which is for 1 year you work for a bondsman, you don't write bail or touch money or do any of that stuff, but you can go out with your bondsman sponsor and kick in doors. So you're supposed to be taught that OJT on kicking in doors.
Listen to what you just said. That don't make any sense. I can't touch a piece of paper, okay, that I can replace, that I can void out and replace, but you trust me as an intern to put my hands on somebody. That don't make any sense.
That don't make any sense at all. You are correct, Todd. It makes no sense at all. And I never could understand who in the hell is on this Blue Ribbon Committee. Because I don't get it. I really don't.
It's like this, Rod. As long as you're not touching the money, we're all good. But the minute you start touching that money, we got to make sure that you're good so we get our money. And that's all it's about. It ain't about liability.
Yep.
It's about kicking in doors and all that shit. That shit right there is either self-taught, you're with a good hunter, and you learn the tricks of the trade. That's why we got so many of them going to jail doing the wrong shit. That's why when they arrested me up in Putnam and said, oh, you ain't appointed. You not a bondsman. You a bounty hunter. I knew right then, I'm laughing. I go, okay, y'all got my ass right this moment here in time. But there's going to be a time, which is today, that the shoe is going to reverse and going to be on your ass, and I'm going to sue the shit out of you because I am a licensed bondsman. I am appointed. And guess what? If you got a problem with what I'm doing, it's administrative. It's not a police issue. So y'all got the wrong boy, and you got your smart boy. But I'm going to go ahead and play pussy with you until you all go ahead and violate me. Once you violate me, then I'm going to turn around and bite you in the ass.
So that's the problem with that, Colbert, is that's what Scott Willis of Palmetto Surety, the president and CEO, was mentioning when he says training. See, it's not training just on law enforcement side. It's real training on the bondsman side because we, as well as the associations, I think that's one of the problems with these associations, these bail bond associations, is that they don't provide training to law enforcement, the clerk's office, or putting someone in there that really know what the heck they're doing. The problem is that these presidents of these associations is self-serving. And the problem is that they want their bail bond company to be number one on the list, or they got someone in the jail that's going to call them and let them know about bonds, or they're going to be first up on whatever happening at the jail or happening in the clerk's office, or they're going to be the ones that get to do bail bond walkthroughs for people with warrants. I kind of find that most associations, especially that one in Seminole County and that one in Orlando, they are self-serving presidents and vice presidents. And I feel they need to be voted out of there, honestly. Mm-hmm. And if you guys want to know how to do it, to vote their ass out of there, call me. It's an easy way of doing it, absolutely easy way. And I'm going to tell you the easy way. Go to the members that is not members. Go to agents that is not members of those associations. You guys talk to them and make them become members with voting power, and you get their ass out of there. You already start your own gathering and group and vote your person you already want to be president and vice president. You get your cabinet already ready, and then you get their ass out of there. And then you get this thing going for the righteousness of bail bondsmen instead of this bullshit they got going on.
And I might recommend that you join NASA because, man, I'm tell you what, we are out of this world.
Well, that's a new organization, Bondsmen, that just came about. It's a national organization because this here PBUS, self-serving. It needs to change. It means that someone is really there for the agents, not there for the pocket.
Right. Now, I'll say this, and it's probably going to hurt a little bit out there, but, you know, I got friends that are in the business, and some of my friends don't always do what they're supposed to be doing, and some of them are laughed at, and, you know, they're cartoon characters for the most part. If you take a cartoon character and you put them on the board of PBUS, which is a National Association of Professional Bond Agents and supposed to be recognized, and you put that cartoon character on the board, it's a laughing stock. Then turn around and have one of these guys that Simon referred to a while ago, who wrote the damn story, that went to one of those meetings and said, well, you know, for $400 and 40 hours in the classroom, hell, you too can get a gun and go out and chase down criminals. Well, in Florida, our laws are totally different. There's a lot more involved, but even still, we have so many things that need to be corrected in our industry to make better agents, to make better bondsmen, and to get a better working relationship between law enforcement and these agents. Listen, I have lost 7 of my good agents. Rod has lost some agents. You be in this business for any length of time, and you'll see one of your partners blown in half because of either training or didn't do something exactly right or something went wrong in Hong Kong. You know, there's a lot of shit. I mean, you can't go out and knock in as many doors as we've knocked in and not run into some shit, not be sitting in a squad car riding off somewhere. You know, thank God, though, they straighten it out usually in the back of that squad car and let us go. But Rod and I have been in more squad cars that the paint's rubbed off on our ass. I mean, you know, this business is very litigious, very dangerous, and it's dangerous from both sides because, like I said earlier in a story I wrote, blurred lines. We don't know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. We don't know if a police officer responding out there knows if we're a good guy or another one of these pieces of shit, and he's going to go ahead and lay us down. We don't know. So we've got to be very, very in tune, up to date, what we got going on, know our surroundings and know what's going on, because we can take a bullet from a good guy or from a bad guy. They're not forgiving. They'll go either way. Don't matter. So, yeah, there's a lot that needs to be done. And one of our upcoming programs, we might want to just go through the steps. You want to be a successful bail bondsman, follow these steps. But like Scott said, training. You know, and that's why I support Palmetto and Surety 3, because I'll tell you what, they do more for their agents as far as training, as far as information gathering, sharing of information, sharing of profit, sharing of different things. I say, you know, go check them out at surety3.net and see if that's the company you want to have behind you to help you. And, you know, become a family member. Become a family member, and they take really good care of you. We also take good care of our associates. Our associate is someone who works for multiple companies and just chooses us every once in a while to make a little profit. But, you know, we ain't got a problem with you making profit off of us. But if you want to be family, join us. We'll help you. Rod is a great guy. Rod's helped me or more. In fact, he's had to tell me several times, Cobra, this ain't got a damn thing to do with me, Surety 3, or Palmetto Insurance. Why are you calling me for this? Because we family, dog. We family, and I want you to help me out.
You know, it's from everything.
It always hurt.
from everything I'm hearing, that there's a problem in the differences between how states operate. You know, what's legal here is illegal there. I think the idea of a national association has some real merit. You can pick out the states that it wouldn't be applicable to, you know, no bond. That there are states where it's just illegal. But if you get everyone on board on some, you know, general operating procedures, and, you know, come up with a training scheme that, you know, keeps everyone happy, healthy, and safe. Everyone would be way ahead of the game, I think.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds good. But let me give you an instance. Let me share something with you. What if you have a national association for bail agents and the president of that association live in a state that he is the keynote speaker for that state not having surety in their state? He's fighting the sureties from coming into his state. Now, what is more better, a professional bail agent or insurance company that have mass amount of dollars where that state can prosper from skips? Because in bail bonding, we have to pay those bonds when they skip. We have to pay the court. We have a duty to the citizens of the state. We have a duty to the citizens of those states. Now, if you got a president of this national association is fighting surety from coming into his state and also telling everyone in that state, oh, I'm not against it, but in the background, you come to find out he's the main reason that he's not in his state. What kind of deal is that? What kind of monopoly are you playing here? And it's a very good one because now you become the GA for that state. And every time you want a bond transfer, you want something done, guess what? It got to go through you. So if that's not self-serving, what the hell is it?
Well, exactly. Absolutely. And I'm in total agreement with you. But what is the solution? I was merely opening up an idea that, you know, you form a national association and try and get everyone on board. But, of course, I live in Nirvana, you know. Yeah, everyone would join. No, they wouldn't.
Well, Rod has a pretty good I've spoken to him several times. In fact, did you hear that screaming that was going on in the background, screaming message? Well, it starts off message, then it gets a little louder, and then it goes, wait. Well, that's his message service, so he doesn't want to miss any calls from his agent. But in talking to Rod, this national association should be set up, and it's going to offend a lot of folks when I tell you this, but it should be set up along the same lines as how the mafia runs their meetings. And the mob, when back in the day, you know, the family members would come together and each one would sit at the table. No one is greater than the other one. They're all equal, and they will all take a side on what it is they think they should be doing and vote on that. And nobody, not the president, not the treasurer, nobody has more power than any of the voting members there. So Rod has his own board that governs Surety 3. And we were talking the other day about moving the meeting over to another place that we know it has exceptional food. The privacy, security, and everything else is off the charts, unlike where they're having it now. But he went to his board, and Rod wants to go that direction, and maybe one other one, but the rest of them said, no, we like where it is. The food's okay, and we'll get by with this, and we'll do this. And Rod said to me, you know, I can't overrule them because when I formed this, I gave them the voting power to say, listen, I'm not going to be a dictator and tell you this is what we're going to do now. So in a sense, what we need to do is remove those dictators from these national associations and give them all number. You're number one, you're number one, you're number one. Everybody's number one. You get to cast a vote. And whoever the majority is, we go that route. Not from political pull or any of this other kind of bullshit, but that's how you run one. And you know what? You need to find folks with integrity. You know, I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many people you know. I just want to know, do you have that one thing, that key thing that I'm looking for, and that's integrity. If you've got that, man, we can make money together. We can make changes together. We can do a lot of things together as long as you have that integrity. And one thing, Simon, that you might not know, I'm proud to say, Rod Dawson has that. He has integrity. That's why so many people are shooting at him, because they don't know what else to say. Oh, it's an all-black company, which it's not. Hell, I'm on the damn board of NASA, and I'm white, you know, half black, but mostly white. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, you know, that people are making up bullshit and saying lies, because they can't overcome one thing that Rod has, and he's put it to use in these different companies, and that's integrity. Once you run up against integrity, there's nothing you can do except make up lies. You know, everybody's trying to, you know, stir people away from, you know, the good ideas. And, you know, like this radio show, oh, I don't know why you want to listen to that. America's Most Unwanted, that's bullshit, you know, blah, 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 self-serving. Listen, if you want to come on the show, I try to help bondsmen. I involve myself all the time. I get in shit for it every day from Rod. Cobra, why are you involved in this? Cobra, why are you messing with this? This ain't none of your damn business. Why are you trying to help this person or that person? Hell, you don't even work for that company. Well, they got a problem, Rod, and I'm trying to help them. And, you know, if I don't help them, who's going to help them? You going to help them? Well, you're busy. So I'm going to try to help them. If I got the power to help them, I want to help them. So more people need to be like that and get rid of these dictators that are self-serving, lining their own pockets, not wanting to share the wealth among their agents. That's why they got agents out here that are robbing Peter to pay Paul, because they're starving them and they're doing different things. And, you know, they got no choice but to do that. Just like, you know, people ask me, aren't you tired of picking up crackheads on the street? You know, they're stealing crack. Listen, I ain't mad at them. That's how they make their business, because somebody didn't teach them about going to school and being a rocket scientist or studying automotives or whatever. Maybe they had this or that. That's how the man makes his money. Now, I don't look down on him because he got caught selling crack. I don't care about that at all. That's how he makes his business. That's what he does. He chose that as a life career. So my job is to get him out of jail, make sure he gets to court on time and do all that and not pass judgment on him and all these different shit things. So that's where we're trying to make a difference, and hopefully through this program, helping other bondsmen going, don't go that route, don't do that. Do it this way. Do your business like this. Show some integrity. Pay your insurance company. You're going to go into another state and kick in a door, call somebody in that state first. If you're coming into Florida and you want to make an arrest, by God, come on down. Your family. Just get with a Florida agent so that you don't slip, hurt your foot, and get left up out of here as a fugitive your damn self. You know, we're all about helping other bondsmen, you know, until one of them fucks us, and then we try to get them.
You know? Don't behave. Todd, you've been very quiet. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I'm just happy to be on board. Right now, you know, we're getting ready to open up a company called the Bondsmen, Inc. And Mr. Dawson's our general agent. And right now, we're about to take over Florida. So I just, you know, be prepared.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Now I'm really scared. you and Cobra. Oh.
Hey, can't go wrong. Can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. Rod, doesn't that sound like famous last words? What could possibly go
so scary.
Wrong?
That is so scary. Every day I lay in bed, I say my prayers.
You know, here's one thing about us, though. You ain't going to have us robbing the insurance company and doing stupid shit that people do. First of all, it's respect. And I've got ultimate respect for Rod. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be able to look at him in the eye if I stole his money. But it's just like what happened to me in 2009 when I went into the courtroom and I told him straight up, listen, if I had been in a fist fight with somebody and reared back and knocked their brick shoes off for no reason, I'm guilty. I need to go to jail. If I've been in a domestic altercation with my wife and slapped her upside the face, I'm guilty. I need to go to jail. But in this case, I didn't do anything, and that's what we pride ourselves on. If we do something wrong, it ain't because we had intent to do that. It ain't because we set out in our heart to rob your ass. We're trying to do the best thing we can, and we're trying to make it so that everybody benefits from it.
Very, very simple. You don't bite the hand that fucking feeds you.
That's it, baby. It's a fucking ranger. He ain't learned that shit yet. That bitch bites me all.
Uh, Rod, we're running pretty much out of time. Do you have anything you would like to tell us about? You know, exciting new cases or exciting old cases?
Well, new case and figure. I get a call from the Cobra Man the other day in reference to an agent that he's interested in bringing over to Surety 3. And he told me what deal we can give a guy. I'm like, well, what deal does the guy have now? He said the guy has a 2 and a 1, 2 to premium and 1 to buff. I'm like, so what? I'm like, man, how long has the guy been in business? 2 days? Like, what do you mean? I mean, the guy must got in business 2 days. No, the guy been in business for a couple of years. All right, that's not possible for him to have a 2. A 2 is the highest. You can't go past a 2 in the state of Florida in premium. So I'm like, it's not possible the guy has a 2. He said, Rod, the guy has a 2. I'm like, man, we can give him anything you want to give him. I mean, it's a 2. You can't go higher than a 2. It's impossible. It's laws against higher than a 2 in the state of Florida. And I'm like, man, Cobra, you give him anything you want. I mean, anything you give him will beat what he got. His surety is robbing him blind. I mean, absolutely blind. I don't even have that number in our premium rates. We don't have a 2 in our premium rates. It's impossible for me to give someone a 2. I believe it's a crime to give out 2s. But yet people give their agents tools in this business, and I really don't understand it. But if you want some good rates and you want a good company, I would suggest you get off the phone. We will help you.
He don't miss any messages either. Trust me.
Boy.
These are agents. I'm not answering my phones anymore, because I don't want to leave the show, but these agents decide, well, since he won't answer me, I'm going to beep him.
I take a hammer.
I keep sending the reply, I'm on the phone with another agent. I will call you back when I'm finished. If not, call me in 15 minutes. It's my instant reply. And I guess they're not understanding that. No, you're going to talk to me right now. Okay, let me start texting you. Give me 10 minutes. I'll give you a call back.
It's been a day, as I've done with Rod, many days, and you that damn thing goes off about every 3 minutes to that message. Oh, Jesus Christ. I throw that damn thing. I tried to throw it out the window. Swear to God.
I mean, I think some ringtones that my stepson has are annoying, but that one you have, Rod, that's really special. I mean, you should sell it.
Well, I can't tell my agents that, hey, I didn't know you text me. I couldn't hear it.
That's one thing. You know, he does that. He returned a bullshit call just because he got a text message. Because why? That's his integrity. He might end up cussing you out over the deal, but you know what? He's going to return that call. Unlike most of them you try to call, you ain't getting a hold of them. This ain't happening. So you're stuck out there wondering what to do.
No, I'm serious, Rod. You should sell it on iTunes or something. people could really go for that, you know. Crowded restaurant, yeah. Someone's cell phone goes off. Message.
Oh, it's bad.
okay, folks, we're down to the last few seconds. Cobra, a quick comment, and then we've got to close this.
Well, I appreciate Simon, and I appreciate this group that's assembled here on America's Most Unwanted. It's really a pleasure to bring stuff to the forefront, and, you know, we encourage others to get involved and try to change this industry for the better. That's all.
And Matt, do you have a ringtone like that?
No. Mine's Secret Agent Man.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
I like that one even better.
Okay, gentlemen. It has been another wonderful afternoon with you all. Let's do it again next Saturday. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. And if you can't be good, call Cobra, Matt, or Rod. Till next time, goodbye.